You may be seated for a few minutes today. Thank you for loving one another. Thank you for loving me today. Hallelujah. I'm amazed that 53 years, there's still people coming to church. They haven't written me off. They haven't, I haven't lost all of my mental acuity. I do need the Holy Spirit to help me, and you to help me, and Jimmy to help me, and Doug to help me, and Mike to help me, and all of y'all to pray for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I mentioned, someone asked me, Brother Venable, where are we going to go when you retire? And right at this point, as long as you are hungry for the Word, and as long as people come to hear it, and as long as we have a media outreach where the Word of God goes from here, and it does go from here, most people enjoy our 2-minute or less messages, just parts of messages, and we pray that if they enjoy that, it will bring them to our website, maybe for the whole message. We'll see what God does with it. But we claimed Psalm 107 and verse 20 that says, He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. So our web minister puts it up online, and God does the rest. Whatever He wants it, He knows the heart that will receive it. That's where He's going to send it. And we have had a lot of hits on our reels from Africa. A lot of names that I can't pronounce, really. I'm back in the Burger King. Someone would have to say it very slowly to me. We prayed for a couple of names that I could pronounce when I was together with three other pastors Tuesday. We prayed for a couple of those people because we just felt the need to pray for people that are being touched through outreach. And so we had, sometimes we have 1,000, sometimes 1,500 hits. And if you get that, then God is sending it somewhere to somebody. Amen. Praise God. So you have an investment in whatever God does through this ministry. We represent each and every one of you, because without you and your support, I would be out here doing something else. But I'm able to be here doing what God called me to do today. And thank you for being part of that. Thank you for investing in souls today. At the end of our messages online, when I used to make the radio broadcast years ago, there's always an invitation. We invite people to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, how many people in here need God to defend you? You need Him to step in your circumstance and your situation, because you have an enemy. The Bible said your adversary, the devil. Whatever's happening in your family, on your job, in your home, in your body, in your life, there are forces at work that is causing these things to happen. Your argument is not with flesh and blood. Even though the enemy of your soul will use people. But your argument is not with them. It's with him. It's with the evil one that is using them. But be of good cheer today. For I am with you in this battle. And I am for you in this battle. And because I am for you, no one can be against you and prevail, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. What a Holy Spirit gave me a good segue into the message today. Yes, Lord. Yes. When you leave here today, saith the Spirit, leave it with me. Leave them with me. For I am your God, and you are my people. and I will give you the victory. Yea, saith God, I have promised it, and I will fulfill my promise to you, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Let's just thank Him right now for the victory that is ours in Christ today. Psalm 20 begins this way. The name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee. The name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee. Now, I've heard every kind of teaching that you could, all the different teachings on faith, they're all good. They all have some substance in Scripture. But I look at the shield of faith, which is our defense against what? The fiery darts of the enemy. Fiery darts means flaming arrows. And it was a tactic of every one of those ancient armies to take their arrows, wrap them in rags, dip them in oil, set them on fire. And as many archers as they could get together, they didn't even have to have a particular target. Just shoot them over toward the enemy. Some of those arrows, particularly in the day when shields were not metal, many of the shields in ancient times, before they developed metal, they would actually go into a wooden shield with leather over it. And when they went into that shield would catch on fire. And what they wanted to happen was to have chaos through fear and panic. When all of these people are, and when it hit a person and got past the shield and into a person, their clothing is now on fire. And all of this fire and all of this panic and all of this chaos gave them an opportunity now for their infantry, for their swordsmen and people with spears to attack them, and cavalry on horses to come in, because they're in complete disarray. And Satan knows what he's doing when he fires fiery darts at us. There is a shield of faith that isn't made out of wood. There's a shield of faith that isn't made out of metal, even though the Roman soldier was the pattern for spiritual armor. There's a shield of faith that is a spiritual shield against spiritual forces. The Bible said, above all, when you put on God's armor, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall quench all the fiery darts. Everybody say flaming arrows. Flaming arrows of the enemy. All of them absorbed the shield of faith. Now, I've heard this taught this way, and I'm going to teach it different. I've been teaching, preaching for 50 years. More importantly, I've been applying the Word to my own life for 50 years, 53 years. I have a hunting season coming. Is any hunters, no hunters in here that trying to kill Bambi's mama? Amen. Kind of glad to hear that. I never could get into hunting. I had a .22. I went out in, I lived in the woods. I loved the woods. Anywhere to get away from home, just get out in the woods and stay in the woods all day. Rain come, I'd get wet, and I'd dry out in the woods, find a sunny spot, and you may walk around a while. But I remember I had a .22 rifle, took a little clip, and I wanted to shoot something. Instead of shooting cans, I saw a squirrel sitting way up in a tree, and I leveled on him just to see if I could hit him. And we weren't going to eat that squirrel. I just wanted to shoot something, and I shot the squirrel. The squirrel fell out, and when I walked over and saw him, see, I wouldn't make a good hunter, because I thought, boy, I wish I hadn't shot that poor thing. He wasn't doing anything. I'm not going to eat it. Now, people eat deer and all that, but I just wouldn't make a good hunter. But let me tell you something about your enemy. He is an expert hunter. He will, when you become a Christian, you become targeted by the enemy. Amen? You are a target for the enemy. Now, immediately we draw back from that. But the Bible said that the name of the Lord God of Jacob defend you. The reason that it defends you is because if you really come to know the Lord, He becomes our shield. He becomes our buckler. And every time I use that term, I think of Rose, which was one of her favorite songs, is that, "Thou, O Lord." It's a psalm, and they made a song out of a song, which is a psalm. "Thou, O Lord, Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Now, God's already on record here through the gifts of the Spirit saying, when you leave here today, after hearing what you're going to hear and what He's going to tell you from His Word, He wants you to leave them with Him, it with Him, amen, and let the Lord fight that battle. For the most wonderful words you will ever hear from God is, "The battle is not yours, it belongs to me." Even vengeance itself is not ours. It's His. It belongs exclusively to Him. Amen. "But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." So the shield of faith, as it's taught all over the place, is building your faith to such a level that you can believe to such a degree that nothing gets to you. Wow. Oh, And people just try to build and build and build more faith, more faith, more faith. And we miss something. Yeah. "Thou, O Lord, You're my defense. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me." Yeah. "You are my shield and my buckler." Amen. This is there was a little shield that would go around the forearm that could be used as well. A buckler, it buckled around it, that you could use the sword of the Spirit. You could use the Word of God while wielding this shield. If God isn't your shield, and your faith is in your faith, and circumstances get just right, because the enemy's not going to come in increments. He's going to come in full force with fiery darts. And they will get to you. I know, because I've had things get to me. Does anything ever get to you? You know, it bothers me when I see some preacher for 1 hour or 20 minutes or whatever it is on television that arrived in a Bentley and is going back to a private room in a hotel that you couldn't get if you were in any kind of trouble, talking about you can live this life without any problems, without any pressures, without anything getting to you, if you just build your faith as strong as my faith is. I was going to tell you, I don't want your faith in your faith, but I'm going to go further. God doesn't want, biblically, scripturally, God doesn't want your faith in your faith. So if you spend all your time building your faith to where nothing is ever going to get to you, and you can manipulate life so that all these things are subdued by your faith, I want to tell people, well, I don't want to be mean, but how's that working? If you're in that mode, how is that working out for you? And what you don't see is the behind the scenes when the cameras go off and the person is no longer living in a compound with a gated community and their kids are going to a private... Nobody sees the personal struggle of that person. But if that person isn't having spiritual struggles, I do not want to hear a word, and overcoming them. If they're living in a bubble that their faith has created, they can't talk to me. They have nothing to say to me because I go through struggles and I need to know how to get through them. Don't tell me I need more faith. The apostles thought they needed that. The disciples thought they needed, if I just had more faith, Lord, I could overcome and everything would be great. Lord, they actually told him in Scripture, Lord, increase our faith. And he didn't start out by saying, if you had faith. It comes later. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea, and it would obey you. If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could move a mountain. And many people, because God in His grace and mercy moved in answer to their prayer, they write books called Mountain Moving Faith. And it looks like you're going to need a mountain of faith to move a mountain. In other words, your faith has to be as big as your problem in order to deal with that problem. And that's, Jesus said, no, you don't need more faith. You need to focus the faith you have in the right place. And it's not in how big your faith is. Because he said, if you have faith in the right place, and in this case, the right person, Can I put that in context for you? They said, Lord, increase our faith. And the next thing out of his mouth was, have faith in God. Amen. Now the focus is not on how big your faith is, but how faithful your God is and how powerful your God is. The name of the Lord God of Jacob defend thee. Hallelujah. You see, a name meant so much more. Let me tell you what it means. To know his name, I just scratched this down. If anyone ever gets a hold of my notes, I don't need them copyrighted. You can't read them. My wife said I should have been a doctor. But to know his name is to know his person, his attributes, his character, and his unchanging nature. To really come to know God in all the beauty of His being and all the benefits of His redeeming love. I can't believe I wrote that. Hallelujah. But I was inspired, Brother Taylor. And when I get inspired, I stop, I grab some scrap paper. Oh, this is not a notebook, it's a piece of scrap paper put in a notebook to make it look official. Because I wrote it on scrap paper. And I didn't want to translate it. So the key to unlocking the protective covering of God, even in Psalm 91, is because thou hast known my name. Because thou hast known my name. That's what Psalm 91 is all about. Because thou hast known my name. The Lord hear thee, Psalm 21, 20 and verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The day of trouble. The day of trouble. Let me tell you something about this world and you and God and the whole thing. In this world, Jesus said, I'm going to ask you a question, and I know we're talking about they're releasing the alien files and all of that, and some people think they might be demons manifesting, and I don't know, they could be, I don't know. I would go with the demon thing manifesting more than somebody from some, you know, outward planet, somewhere beyond Pluto, and some kind of Mickey Mouse outfit out there, I think. Amen. Then listen, it's so important that we know Him and put our faith in Him because of our knowledge of Him. The name in the Old Testament divulged a character, a nature, and God's nature and character is unchanging. I am the Lord God of Israel, and I change not. If your faith is in your faith, you will go to a convention and you will be convinced, if I just read the Bible more, claim the promises more, my faith will rise up to such a level that everything is going to level out in my life. Your faith can't be in your faith. Because if your faith fails, if faith in your faith fails because your faith wavers, the shield comes down. The fiery darts come through. That's why God wants you to know Him. Not just know about Him. Last week we began this, they that do know their God. This little four-letter word, yada. It's Adam knew his wife. They had an intimate relationship. They had children as a result of that relationship. It's an intimacy with God. It's coming to know Him. I went to church for years, but I knew in whom I had believed. I knew I believed on Jesus. I knew I was saved because of my faith in Christ as my Savior. But I didn't know Him. There's a difference. I knew about Him, but I didn't know Him. You can know all about Jesus by going to church, but you can't come to really know Him until you seek Him with all of your heart. Said, you'll find me. And it won't be goose pimples or liver shivers on Sunday morning. It will be a deep, personal knowledge of God. And when that occurs, you can trust Him with all of your heart because you know Him well enough that you can put your trust in Him. But if you don't, you'll just try to grab hold of a promise, stand on that promise. And yet the Bible said, have faith in God. And you can't do that just because you're standing on the Word. You have to know the Lord. And David had that hunger. And I believe God's creating a hunger to know Him, so that He can reveal Himself to us in such a way that we can unequivocally, completely, without any doubt or fear, put our trust in Him. Amen? But you can't do it unless you know Him well enough. That's why Paul said, I know. I have believed on Christ. We all have as Christians. And that's all it takes to get you to heaven. But to trust Him while we're here in this world, you have to know Him. Amen. And I know, Paul said. What drove Paul to that knowledge? He said, oh, if he was Pentecostal, he had the credentials that most of us would envy and say, man, if it's all based on our experience of the Spirit and our knowledge of the Word, oh man, Paul had it all. He said, listen, he said, I'm a Jew of the Jews. He had qualifications, covenant qualifications with Israel and the God of Jacob. He said, I'm a Jew of the Jews. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. And while we're talking about the law, I'm blameless. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Can you say amen? None of us are blameless. He discovered that later on, but in his Jewish lineage and his standing with the Sanhedrin and the religious body, he was the greatest thing since Cracker Jacks. Amen? And yet he had a longing. When he came to Christ, he had a longing. And what was that longing? He said, the things that were once gained to me, all of these religious credentials I have, I count them as but dung. You don't need the Greek word for dung, do you? No. You don't even need the slang word for dung. Right. We all know what dung is. Right. Can you imagine taking what made the proudest Pharisee or Sadducee or priest in that day strut around? They broadened their phylacteries. What are they? Phylacteries. Amen. They literally had Scripture rolled up into little scrolls and in little pockets on their robes. They had Scripture all over them. Walking around with walking Bibles to make more room for more Scripture. And yet they didn't know Christ as their Savior. And when they did come to know Christ as their Savior, like the Apostle Paul, it made a dramatic, radical change. He said, I know that I'm saved. I know Jesus as my Savior. That I might know Him. Really know Him. Amen. Now, you probably say, if someone said, do you know Pastor Venable? Oh, yeah, I know him. You know who really knows me? It's my wife. You don't live with me. I don't know you. I know you by sight and by name, but I don't really know you. You know her, okay? And tremble. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. It's okay. He is trembling, by the way, just to illustrate. To know someone is not enough to know their name. I know Pamela by name, but I know her deeper than by name, and I'm not just talking about intimacy between man and a woman, but our life. We're doing life together. And I know when she means well but may not say it well. So it's okay. I can deal with that. I don't take that to heart because I know her heart better than sometimes her reaction to something, especially when she's frustrated with me. I can't see how anyone could possibly be frustrated with me. But it happens sometimes. We could get frustrated with each other sometimes. But even if you got angry at me and some of that anger came out, if I know you well enough, I begin to look past that moment and know that this is not what's really in his heart. Amen. I'm so glad that we can know God that way, and he can know us that way. Man looks on the outward, God goes deeper, and he looks directly on the heart. But the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So every time you open your mouth, you let people get a glimpse of your heart. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's where the fruit of the Spirit is going to begin to be developed in each and every one of us. So it doesn't begin with have great faith to move great problems and circumstances. It begins with simply have faith in God. And once that's established through this personal knowledge of Him, amen. Some people have been in church 30, 40 years. They don't know the Lord well enough to trust Him when the fear comes. Trust Him when the faith wavers. Because faith in your faith under certain circumstances. Oh, friend of mine, Simon Peter, they're in a boat. Every time they're going from one side to another, what happens? A storm comes up and tries to sink the boat. Jesus said, you go to the other side. I'm going to stay here and pray. They take off without him. They get halfway across and a mighty storm comes up. The actual Greek calls that storm that is created by a tidal wave from an earthquake. Both of those storms were not just wind-driven. It was a shaking that came that created a tidal wave. Does it begin to make sense when the enemy comes in like a flood? Did you ever see any of the clips of the tidal wave that hit Japan? And it moved buildings and cars and people. There was nothing could withstand it. The enemy comes in that way. And when you see that kind of a wave and that kind of power and that kind of force coming against you, it's unnerving. You can't just confess it away. I've heard that too. Just don't confess it. Just don't confess there's a problem. That's not how you deal with giants in your life. David didn't say, "What giant? I don't see any giant." No, he said, "I see him." And they tried to magnify the giant and make him even bigger. Said, "Have you seen the size of this man?" And David said, "Yeah, I see that. He's big. Amen. He's a big one. He's a big one. He's so big, nobody in Saul's army, none of his warriors and Saul himself would not go out to fight him." Lot riding on that, wasn't it? Lot riding on that because they made a deal. Why should we both lose soldiers and all this bloodshed? You send forth your champion, we'll send forth our champion. Whichever one wins this battle, we will serve the other. That's what was on the line. And what made King Saul and all of his warriors choose a shepherd boy to represent them with all of that on the line? Well, back in the history, amen, Saul was tormented in his mind. And he said, "Go get me somebody that can play on an instrument, something to help me be soothed in my mental torment." And they brought in a young shepherd boy that could play a harp. And when David played under the anointing of God, something about the anointing breaking yokes. When David played, Saul found rest. And he recognized something. The hand of the Lord God of Israel, that it used to be on me, but now I see that anointing on him. And so much is riding on this. It can't be won with might against might and power against power. It's going to take the supernatural to defeat this giant. Amen. But God is a supernatural God. But he works through natural people through a supernatural anointing. And that anointing was on David, and Saul recognized it. And when he saw David come down to bring bread and cheese, he didn't come down to make a name for himself, to show out that he was anointed. He came with a servant heart. And that's why he was anointed. And that's why Jesus was anointed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what? Saying, "Hey, look at me, I'm so powerful." Like so many people get in the flesh and do today. No. Anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, delivering all that were oppressed of the devil. He came to seek, to save, and to serve. And the Bible calls him the suffering servant in type and foreshadow in Isaiah 53. David had the anointing on him, and Saul said, "Let that man be our champion. Let that young man, with all that's on the line here, whoever wins, the other's going to serve. It's on the line." And he chose David. And there must have been a whole lot of people said, "What are you thinking?" But he chose David because David had faith in God. Listen carefully. Everybody say the name. The name of the Lord God of Israel defend thee. I'm going to finish reading this if I have time. I got time. But listen carefully. "Have you seen the size of this man?" David said, "Listen." And they went into great detail. They had this down to how tall he was. I forget the exact feet and inches. But he was not just a giant. Most people believe that he was not only gigantic in size, but because of the places they were coming from, the Philistines, they were demonic. He had demonic power. He had something supernatural going on. I mean, archers, enough of them that can hit a target could take out a great big, I mean, what a target you have. But there's something different. The demoniac of the Gadarenes. Chains couldn't hold him. They couldn't tie him down. He broke them. under the supernatural power of demonic forces. But Saul recognized that, and he said, listen, there's more going on here than flesh against flesh. There's a spiritual thing going on here. Amen. He had known the Lord in that kind of power in his life. This young man has it on him. Hallelujah. David said, listen, I slayed the lion. The anointing was on me. I slayed the lion that threatened the sheep by myself. I slayed the bear that tried to take a sheep by myself with God's help. And in the name of the Lord, who is? What a boldness comes when you know your God. They that do know their God will be strong. They'll be bold. They'll be courageous. And they'll do exploits. Amen. But if you just know about Him, your faith will shake. When your faith shakes, you will sink. And you'll have to come full circle back to where your faith should have been before you sank. Amen? You have to come back. In fact, God will wait until you start sinking and cry out to Him and Him alone. Not your faith, but His faithfulness. David said, who is this uncircumcised? Can you hear the boldness in this young man? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that comes against the armies of Saul? No, who comes against the armies of the living God. Amen. God has a covenant with us, and we have a covenant with Him. And this is not just a man-to-man battle that we're going to do. Who can put the most and the strongest on the battlefield? This is a spiritual thing. Yeah. Hallelujah. And I'm depending on the anointed of God that was on me to slay a lion and a bear. Amen. Now, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of who? Saul? Of Israel? No, the armies of the living God. Because we are in a covenant with the living God. Hallelujah. So he said to the giant, the giant, he was bold too. Yeah. He looked at that little fella and he said, listen, I asked for a man to face me on the field of battle, and you send me a boy. And how did David respond to that? Oh, by the way, here's something I want you to get before we close. Which is about another hour and a half away. Anyway, before we close this morning, Saul said, if you're going to represent us, even though the anointing's on you, you need to put on the king's armor. We used to have some big men wore coats to church. And I used to be a smaller fellow than I am now in the girth, not the height. But I would take Floyd Shiver, my father-in-law. He was 6'3". And I would walk up to the microphone, and it would be up here. And I would have to let it down to my level. But I would get him to let me borrow his coat to illustrate. When this young shepherd boy with the anointing on him put on the armor of the king so he could look the part when he went out to fight for Israel and for God's glory and honor, Saul said, give him my armor. And David almost made a mistake. He put on Saul's armor. But he realized that when I had on that coat, you couldn't see my hands. It came down past my knees. That coat of a 6'3" man, 200 and something pounds, didn't fit me very well back when I was 150 pounds. It was cumbersome. It was in the way. Same with David. He said, I don't need the armor of the king. Saul's armor is all about shields, all about swords and spears and breastplates. No, he took it all off. He laid it down and said, I can't go to battle with man's armor. And then he looked at the giant and said, you're coming at me with a sword and the shield. And this, he had mail, they call it. It's like a net of metal that he wore to protect himself, as big as he was, strong as he was. David said, you come to me with sword and shield, but I come against you in the name. There it is, the name of the Lord God of Israel. When you know your God, you will be strong and do exploits. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You come at me with sword and shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. Have faith in God. And if you have faith in God, as a grain of mustard seed, boldness comes. You can say to the mountain, amen, be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea. And if you believe that what you say will come to pass because your faith is in God and you know God's will in the matter and you're fighting for His honor and His glory, I'm going to tell you, I don't want victory today. In my life, in my body, at my age and stage of life, I don't want victory so I can watch TV without pain. Amen? I want victory to bring glory and honor to my King today. I want you to know the Word works, and I want you to know the Word works because God is faithful and watches over His Word to perform it and keeps His covenant to 1,000. You didn't think I could do that, did you? Oh, hallelujah. I only do it one time per service. It'll take me a week to get over it. Anyway, amen. Hallelujah. Listen. God is faithful. His grace is sufficient. God is faithful. My wife used to do so many things. She used to put taillights while I was working in my truck. Come and change the taillights because he's working hard. I'll come do that. Now, I not only change taillights, I feed dogs and I wash dishes. She did them last night, by the way. Her arm was better. She was feeling a little better. Didn't feel good this morning. Her days are up and down. Sometimes she gets out of the car, walks okay. Other times, she's hanging on to my arm. And we walk together because she fell twice. And we walk together when she's weak. She's not healed completely yet. But God is still on the throne, and God has strengthened me. You say, Pastor, how do you take it? How do you take your son is on a mental disability that he doesn't drive? He can't conduct his business. I take him to the grocery store. I take him to the bank. I try to deal with issues that he may have. I've got a wife that is not able to do those things anymore. Amen. I have had a stroke. Back when I was a young man, 65 years old. That's young now to me. Amen. I'd love to be back then. How about it? We could run around this building, brother. Yeah. Hallelujah. Leave that more. Supercharge this walker here. God has been so good to me. And I've discovered that His grace is sufficient. And I want to be an example to the flock, not just a preacher to you guys. I want you to know His grace is sufficient. And when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, he was literally saying, I can't do anything without Him whom I put my faith in. I can't do all things to charismatics and Pentecostals and Spirit-filled people. We're thinking of gifts of the Spirit, the charismata. It's not that. Paul was saying, I am equal to anything. Whatever comes against me, whatever the devil does to destroy me, whatever circumstances I find myself in, I'm equal to that because of the strength that comes from Christ and Christ alone. His faith wasn't in his faith to deliver himself. Amen. It was in Jesus. Everybody say in Jesus. Glory to God. There's power in His name. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, when David got through saying what he said, he picked up five smooth stones. It only took one to bring the giant down, because it was under the anointing of God. It wasn't his prowess with the sling, and it wasn't a slingshot. They even have slingshots that shoot ball bearings, and they can kill you. Anybody ever seen one of those? He got them? He hadn't shot you yet? Oh. Did he shoot the cat?
Not yet.
Not yet, okay. Just checking. You could kill a cat with that. You could kill a person with that. But David's sling, you couldn't aim it like that. When he let it go, he was good with it. But when he let it go, God had to grab a hold of it, because it hit the giant evidently in the forehead, where he had no armor. And he didn't fall backwards from the thrust. Amazing thing about this, to me, he didn't fall backward. He fell forward on his face before David. Because it wasn't David that he had been conquered by. It was by the Lord God of Israel, under whose banner, whose name, David went to battle. Whew. Oh, I feel preaching. I'm getting ready to preach now. It's time to quit, and time to wind down. I'm just now getting wound up. You come to me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. By the way, he had more than enough of what he needed, because all he really needed was faith in God. Can you say amen? I heard someone preach one time that the sons of Anak, they were brothers of Goliath, and in case there was more giants, he had more than enough. Let me tell you what God said about you. The Bible never said that you were a conqueror in Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ. It said you can conquer, but it didn't say you are a conqueror. The Bible says you are more than conquerors through him that loved you. Through him. It's always about him. It's never about you and your faith. It's about him and his faithfulness. It's not about you and your anointing. It's about him and his response when you pray and put your trust in him. Hallelujah. The giant fell. And David took the giant's sword. He didn't need Saul's. He took the giant's sword and lobbed his head off. Gross. And Israel's army, yeah, let's showcase our victory. But it was God's victory. And with the Philistine army, Saul, their champion, defeated by one little Jew boy. Yeah. Was he a Jew boy?
Yeah.
One little Jew boy. I picture Woody Allen with a sling under the anointing, the supernatural power and presence of God. And they begin to sing a song that made Saul jealous. Saul has slayed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Hallelujah. Amen. And by the way, this David had to hide from Saul in a cave, and a bunch of people that were in debt and in trouble and under pressure, they knew he has a key to something that we need from God in our life. The help we need from God, he has it, because he brought down Goliath. There was a cave called the Cave of Adullam. I don't know what that means. You Adullam, does anybody know the Hebrew for that? I don't. It's probably very interesting. I may look into it so I can bring it to you like Burger King. Can you say, man, see what the Hebrew or Chaldee word was for? But in that cave where David was hiding, all these people with pressure, all these people with problems, could be us. Listen, if you knew behind that door there is that David was behind that door, the staff restroom. That's right where he would be. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he was behind that door, and you got giants in your life. Would you, if he invited you, come on in. Let me give you some keys to victory. And it's all about faith in God. Amen. Can you say amen? It would be simplistic. It would be too simple for your complex problems. And yet Jesus said, when they said increase our faith, he said, have faith in God. Amen. You don't need a complex answer for your complex problems. You need faith in God. R.W. Shambaugh used to say, you ain't got no trouble. All you need is faith in God. Amen. He's right. But you need to know Him in order to have faith in Him. Not just know His promise, but the person who made the promise, so that you do not doubt the promise. Amen. The other day I was doing something, and something occurred, and I thought, what if that happens? And I could hear a statement from Jesus to the disciples in my spirit. Wherefore dost thou doubt? Why are you doubting? Yeah. And he asked, boy, what that'll make you stop and think. I stopped and said, why am I doubting? Yeah. God's got this. I prayed about it. I gave it to Him. And here I am trying to take it back by worrying about it. Yeah. Cheep, cheep. Is there a cricket way over there in the corner? Getting real quiet in here now. I gave it to God, and now through doubt, I'm taking it back. I cast my burden on Him, but now through fear, I'm inviting that burden right back. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, He will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I have absolutely no reason to doubt You, because I know You too well to start doubting You. But if I didn't know Him like I know Him, even though it's written in holy canon, it's written in the Bible. The Bible is not everything. It points you to God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's not just reading promises. It's getting to know a person through the teaching of Christ and through everything He did and everything He said, until you know the Father through the Son and you know Him well enough to say, I can come straight into the throne room of God and be welcomed. I have His ear because I have His heart. I can call Him Abba Father because I have a relationship with Him. And I can begin every prayer with my Father which is in heaven, not the force that is up there somewhere. Hallelujah. In fact, when I say the blessing over my food, and this is just me, I begin it with Father. Not, you know, over the teeth and through the gums, look out stomach, here it comes. That's not a real good prayer to pray. You ever heard that? Yeah. Y'all didn't hear that, did you? You heard that before? You hadn't? No, I don't. That's a dad joke. So give me two fist bumps over here for dad jokes this morning. Dad jokes are bad jokes. Always remember. No. I pray the blessing over my food. I say, Heavenly Father, hallowed be Your name. And then I make petition. But I stop with acknowledging a paternal relationship with God. And yet, a reverence for God simultaneously. I claim my Abba Father relationship, but I hallow His name and reverence Him. And I know that I have an audience with the God who created heaven and earth and everything in heaven and earth. Hallelujah. And through Christ, through whom which nothing was made that was made without Him, and everything in the universe is held in storm and perfect harmony by His power. Scientists can figure out the physics of it a little bit, but it's all God's doing. And this great God with all of this power is my daddy. But I don't approach Him as my daddy. I approach Him as my heavenly Father with the due reverence. And I know I have an audience with Him. And I know Him on a level that I never knew Him. Let me tell you how important this is as we do try to close soon. My former pastor, Brother Joe Woodward, I was dying of cancer of the blood, leukemia. I was healed in that ministry, not by my pastor laying hands, but with my pastor at that time. I was 8 years old probably in that 7-8 elementary school, given up to die with leukemia in the stage it was in. Actually, the doctor told my mom and dad, you know, when it gets in the last stages, you have no insurance, we'll get him in the county hospital. In other words, they give me morphine or whatever they had to help me pass away. They took me to church. It was a church where God showed up and God showed out. Amen. It was a 7-day-a-week church. Can you imagine? People think you got it tough listening to me for long. Think of those people going to church 7 days a week. Why did they show up 7 days a week? Because God was doing mighty things. They come to know Him enough to trust Him, and He was moving, and miracles were occurring. People were coming to Christ, and people were being healed and set free. And I was one of them. Hallelujah. Brother Venable, did you survive? Yes, I did. I'm happy to tell you today. Not only I survived, I thrived, praise God. But that doesn't mean that I became superhuman because I had a stroke, was in the hospital with it, came, y'all prayed for me, God listened, hallelujah. On the third day I walked out, not in a wheelchair, not with a speech impediment, not with any limbs that did not work, no need for follow-up therapy. No need to try to find out what happened, because whatever it was, when God healed the result of the stroke, He healed the problem that caused the stroke. And come to find out, all said and done, it was more than an organ failure or a heart failure or clogged up veins or something in my head. It was stress. It was failing to give to God what He told me to give to Him and to carry it myself. Amen. And I found out that stress would cause the very arteries to narrow, veins to become stressed by the stress, and the blood flow to the brain to be impeded just because of all you were carrying. And you know how I found that out? I went to have... show you I am. No, I'm not Superman. I have problems like everybody else. I went to have... a hole bored in my eyes with a laser because of narrow angle glaucoma. Sometimes God heals through miracles. Sometimes He heals through doctors. This particular doctor knew just what to do. He said, if that's what this little hole that's in there, this little lets fluid come into the eyeball. It's narrowing. If it closes off, and you don't have it fixed within 24 hours after it closes off, you get a real bad headache when it happens, you'll be blind for life. Would you like me to fix it? Well, let's see. I don't know, it might be a lack of faith. No, this is, hey, God, there's a problem. God put me in a chair with a man with the answer for the problem. It's still all faith in God. Amen. I was in the right place with the right guy. Amen. He said, I can fix that for you. Come back tomorrow. I said, I'll be here, Doc. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And he did it with a laser. You know what it feels like when they laser that? It feels like somebody's hitting you in that laser. It literally, it's a force. Boom. No pain. He put something in there. I wanted more of it. Amen. He put something in my eye. Boom. It felt like a boom, boom, boom when that laser would cut that little hole. I went to another doctor to get glasses. I used readers. You know, I had bifocals, and my wife's got trifocals. I put them on, and my eyes didn't know what to do. I don't know how anyone sees through those things. Bifocal, it's this one for the little stuff, that one for the big stuff, and that's simple. And he said, who took care of your eyes? I said, Dr. Kulik. He was an old guy, Brother Taylor, old as us. But he was the best. God had me in the seat in a chair with the best. And when he does that, he still gets the glory. Amen. Dr. Kulik was good, but I gave God the glory. Amen. God, I wouldn't have known I had a problem if I didn't go and get fitted for glasses. Yeah. And I told him, I said, you know, I had a stroke when I was 65. And it was shortly after that stroke, that I was doing this. He checked my eyes. He said, normally, I can see where if it's blood pressure high, that these little capillaries will burst in your eye. He said, there's nothing. They're fine except for that I fixed. He said, let me ask you something. And no doctor at the hospital asked me this. He said, what was your life like when you had that stroke? I said, well, I had the church. I had a job. My dad had a house fire, and he was by himself and had to move out of his house. I became a caregiver for my dad. My mother got dementia, was going through dementia, and I had to take care of her business and things like that, Pamela and I. I was working part-time. No, I was working full-time, taking care of a church, taking care of my dad, taking care of all this other stuff. He said, that'll do it. I said, that'll do it? He said, that'll do it. If we get enough stuff piled on us and come under that stress, it will affect you physically. And even worse than that, if you don't give it to God, it will affect you spiritually. It will strangle out your joy. It'll make you vulnerable to fear. And when I started thinking about what may happen if this don't happen, this situation, I could feel, it's like I could feel fear wanting to grab me by the throat, choke out my joy and my peace. And I could hear what the Lord said to the disciples, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why do you doubt me? Don't you know me? Remember that song by, what's his name, Red something? If you don't know, it's about a wife that don't trust her husband. Simply Red. Hey, we got a contemporary girl over here. You're the only person in here who knows Simply Red. Amen. You know what? If you don't know me by now, you will never know me. Have I been with you this long? You don't know me enough? It's all about knowing him enough to trust him. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Amen. What? But if you know about him, that's not enough. It won't conquer doubt. And doubt opens the door for fear. And fear hath torment. But perfect love, which God has and God is in His character and essence, what does it do to fear? It casts out how much? All of it. Hallelujah. And I could feel fear. I could feel fear. Oh, I've heard that. I've said this, but it's not that simple. Fear knocked on the door. I sent faith to open the door. Faith said, nobody there. Oh, friend of mine, you got to know the Lord when fear comes. Because the enemy doesn't come in increments. He comes in like a flood. It threatens to over, and it's all about Him, His promise to be with you, because He is for you. The name of the Lord God of Israel defend you. I'm going to finish with this, and we'll have that song we talked about before we go home. Psalm 20. Can I read it to you in closing? Look what He offers us here. Psalm 20, verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. In this fallen world, that's every day. In this world, you shall have, it's a promise of Christ, you shall have tribulation. You're going to have trouble down here. Being a Christian doesn't exempt you, but it gives you something that no one else has, and that's God's promise to be with you and to deliver you. Can you say amen? May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. He expects you to pray and trust Him. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. You see the shield of faith? May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings, all the times we thanked Him, we glorified Him, we worshiped Him in praise, and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant unto your heart's desire. Oh, by the way, burnt sacrifice, Old Testament. We bring the sacrifice of praise. We used to sing it. Into the house of the Lord. Can you say amen? The Bible speaks of offering Him the calf sacrificial of our lips. A sweet smelling savor unto Him. A sacrifice unto Him. Hallelujah. Calves of your lips. We bring the sacrifice of praise. I'd see people feeling, got the poor old me so bad, they'd say, yeah, Brother Venable, I worshiped Him today. I didn't feel like it. I sacrificed and praised Him. That's not the sacrifice of praise. That's full of doubt and fear and self. Poor old me had to lift my hands when I didn't feel like it and say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know how it goes. Come on, we've all been there. No, don't look at me so sanctimoniously. I brought the sacrifice of praise. I felt so bad. He said, come on, worship the Lord. And I said, all right. Let me alone. No, the sacrifice of praise, hallelujah, is from a heart full of gratitude. Hallelujah. And it's offered to the Lord in spirit and in truth. And it becomes a sacrifice. Acceptable unto God, just like they offered in the temple. And He said, I'm going to remember when you worship Me from your heart and when you talk to Me about your need and the trouble comes, I'm going to be right there to answer you. Can you say, man, the name of the Lord God of Jacob defend you? Hallelujah. Amen. May, oh my goodness. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember your offerings. Now, we're not talking about money. Your spiritual offerings of praise to Him. And strengthen you. May He accept your burnt sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise. May He grant unto you according to your heart's desire and fulfill your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God will we set up our banners. Hallelujah. Our flags, we fly. We used to sing it, didn't we? Love is a flag flown high from the castle of my heart, for the King is in residence there. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We'll set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions, everything you pray for. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Because it's not just a title, it is revealing His unchanging character of love and commitment to His covenant people. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Yeah. They have bowed down and fallen, these people that have come against Him. Amen. And us, in His name, we stand. But we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. That's what Hosanna means. May the King answer us when we call. Hallelujah. I'd love to preach on Psalm 20 sometime. There's so much in it, but it's all about a person. Not faith in your faith, but faith in a person that you've come to know because you know His name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. Safe. So my shield of faith is the faithfulness of my God, whom I've come to know enough to put all of my trust in. They that trust in the Lord, what happens? They shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. For as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is round about His people to deliver them. Can you say amen? He said, I got you covered. I got you covered with the covering of my spirit. Psalm 91 is a covering psalm. It covers everything that could possibly happen to you. And He said, because you have known my name. Hallelujah. You have this covering. You put your trust in me. Did you get something out of this today? Amen. Took up all my time, meant to let you out early, but then I'd spoil you rotten. You wouldn't be prepared. How many are ready to go eat something good and drink something sweet? How many will let us quit off with this song right now? And how many will sing it with me from the heart today? Are you ready to get rid of all that fear, frustration? Will you give it to God today? Wherefore didst thou doubt? Give it to God today. Let Him have it and leave it there. Leave them there. If God be for you, and He is, you're a Christian, you're a child of God, He's for you. He said, call on me in the day of trouble. I'll deliver you. Thou shalt glorify me. Praise God.